Welcome to Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. I'm Sarah Malka Reichman, and today we'll be learning the second chapter of Sefer Rus together. If each chapter of Sefer Rus illustrates the relationship between the different figures in the Sefer, in the first chapter we were given a rich depiction of Rus and Ami's relationship. Today in the second chapter, we'll be privy to seeing the development of Rus's relationship with Boaz, both through their direct conversations and through Boaz's actions behind the scenes. The parak opens up with Rus telling Naomi of her intentions to go and collect grain in a field in order to provide food for herself and for Naomi. And Naomi gives her stamp of approval on this plan. Vatomer Rus ha-Moabiyah el Naomi el-Chana ha-Sadeh v'lakata ba-Shibulim achar asher emtza chen b'inav. I'm going to go to a field and I'm going to collect stalks of grain following someone in whose eyes I find favor. Vatomer la-Lechi biti. Naomi says, go, my daughter. Rus intends on being the beneficiary of the mitzvah of leket, wherein a farmer who cuts his grain is obligated to leave the fallen stalks behind him with a limit of three. If he drops one or two stalks, he leaves them so that poor people who are following him can pick up those stalks of grain. If he drops three or more, they belong to him. Before we hear of Rus's intentions, we're given one pasuk of an introduction to one specific person before we get into the story that transpires in this parak. We hear that Naomi has a relative through her husband. Ule Naomi moda l'isha, ish gibor chayel, mimishpachas Elimelech ushmo Boaz. We hear that she has a close relative through her husband. He's a person of great valor, and he's of the family of Elimelech. His name is Boaz. It's interesting that the pasuk tells us that his relationship to Naomi is only via Elimelech, because in fact, Boaz is related to Naomi. Nachshon ben Aminadav has four sons that we know of. One is Elimelech, one is Naomi's father, one is Boaz's father, Salmon, and one is Ploni Almoni, who we will meet in Perek Dalet. And so, Boaz is not only Elimelech's nephew, but also Naomi's first cousin. Perhaps the pasuk wants us to know that his role in the story is going to be because of his relationship specifically with Elimelech. In whose field will Rus end up collecting? Well, the pasuk tells us that something happened to her. She happened to end up in a very specific field. She went and she arrived and she gathered in the field following the cutters of grain. And she happened upon a portion of a field that belonged to Boaz of the family of Elimelech. Commenting on the words Vatelech Vatavo, Rabbi Elazar in the Gemara Shabbos Kuf Yud Gimel tells us, halcha uvasa. She went, she left, she came. It sounds like she repeatedly left and came. Ad shematza bnei adam hamehuganim leleich imahem. Until she found people among whom it was appropriate to be in their midst. So here we have the picture of somebody very, very refined and dignified, and she looks at different fields until she finds a field that makes her feel comfortable. Rus has already been gathering grain for some time when Boaz returns to his field. He turns to his farmhands to greet them, and he says, "Vayomer lekotzrim Hashem imachem, Hashem is with you." They respond to him, "Vayomer lo yivarechecha Hashem, may Hashem bless you." This is not only a nice way of greeting someone, it's unusual. Not only unusual, but unprecedented. We know this because the Gemara in Makos tells us that there are three things that a beis din, a court on earth, instituted and received heavenly approval from the divine courts. Amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, Shosha Dvar Masu beis din shalmata, Veskimu beis din shalmala al yadam. And one of these things is She'ela Shalom B'Shem, greeting a person with Hashem's name. Prior to Boaz instituting this policy of greeting people with Hashem's name, one would have thought that one should refrain from doing that since it would be considered using Hashem's name in vain. This new policy of greeting people with Hashem's name is going to be very significant for us in the next parak, and it's going to enlighten some very complicated events. So let's keep it in mind. At this point, Boaz inquires about Ruth, who's gathering grain in his fields. He turns to his worker who oversees the other farmhands, and he says, "Lemi hanara hazos? With whom or to whom is this young woman?" Bringing the Gemara to ask, "V'chi darko shel Boaz l'shol b'na'ara?" Was it Boaz's way to ask about these women who collect grain in his field? Rather, the Gemara responds, there was something very distinct about this woman. Amar Rabbi Elazar, davar chachma rabba. He saw certain wisdom. What was the wisdom? Shnei shibolin lakta, shlosha shibolin eina lakta. When two stalks fell, she would collect them, but if three fell, she wouldn't collect them, demonstrating her knowledge of the halacha that she was permitted to only pick up two but not three stalks. The other opinion is, davar tznias ra'aba. He saw the modesty in her behavior. Omdos me'umad, noflos me'yushav. If something was standing a stalk or it was high up, then she would collect it from a standing position, but if it had fallen on the floor, rather than bending over, she would sit down in order to pick up the particular stalk of grain. The Medrash in Rusbat Rabbah elaborates upon this, and not only would she collect the grains that were on the ground while she was sitting, but it compares her to the other women. The other women would always stand and bend over, and she would sit to collect. The other women would always hoist up their dresses in order to make it easier for them to bend and collect things, and she would actually spread out her dress in order to cover up her legs. The Medrash continues and tells us that the other women, Mesacha Kotim HaKotzrim, they would hang out and they would flirt with the farm workers. V'hi mitznat atzma, but she would make herself modest, she would keep to herself. The other women would gather from the amarim, they would take from the piles, from the gathered grains that the workers had already put together for the owner of the field, and she would take only from the hefker, only from that from which she was permitted to take. So here there was something very distinct about her behavior, which made him wonder, who is this woman? And of course, we know that she is Rut, Vayan Hanar Hanitzav Al Hakotsrim Vayomar Nara Moaviyahi Hashava Im Naami Miste Moav. She is a Moabite woman who returned with Naami. Let's remember that everybody spoke of them when they returned, so we're assuming that Boaz had heard already that Naami had returned with this Moabite woman, her daughter-in-law. After finding out who Rus is, Boaz makes the decision to be the sole provider of food for Rus and for Naami. He tells her to collect only in his field and to stick with his maidservants. Vayumar Boaz el Rus haloshamat biti, al telchilu kot besadeh acher, v'gam lo savuri mizeh, v'chutiz bakin im na'arosai. The Malbim learns from the word na'arosai that Boaz had male farm workers and female farm workers, two different parts of the field, and he told Rus to stay with the females. And he further tells Rus that he has told his workers that they have to stay away from her, not touch her. He tells her that if she becomes thirsty, she should go and she should drink from the water that his workers have drawn. Her reaction is grateful and effusive. Vatipola paneha, vatishtacha arza, vatomeri lav, madua matasi chin beinecha, lakireni, vanochi nochriya. She falls on the ground, she bows to him, and she says, "Why have I found favor in your eyes for you to take note of me? And I am just a foreign woman or a woman from another nation." One can learn about her entire mindset until this point where she receives this outpouring of generosity and confirmation from Boaz. One can just see what she must have felt, the self-consciousness, the sense that she doesn't belong, the sense that she's a nachriya, that she's a foreigner of another nation. She asks him why she's found favor in his eyes, and she uses this term, finding favor in someone's eyes, three times in a brief period in this perek. She asks him why she has found favor in his eyes, and it's actually one of the three times in this perek that Rus uses that term, to find favor in someone's eyes, and it just gives a sense of her self-consciousness, that she's looking and waiting for someone's approval and concerned with what everybody's going to say about her, this Nachriya, this woman of another nation that she calls herself. And she has this sort of self-consciousness until this moment of time where she receives this outpouring of generosity and benevolence from Boaz. Boaz now answers Ruth's question of why it is that he even took notice of her and why all the benevolence towards her. And he says that he's heard of all that she's done for her mother-in-law. And now listen to these words and see what it reminds us of. What words it reminds us of from earlier in the Torah. It reminds us of words spoken to somebody earlier who had to leave everything behind in order to take upon themselves the whole of Torah and mitzvot as well. Here also, two people had to leave everything behind in order to embrace a new life for themselves and for their progeny. Boaz now blesses Rus, and the Malbim, in explaining the bracha, distinguishes between two types of workers. He says that there's the poel and there's the sachir. The poel is hired to perform a specific task or produce something. Think a tailor who makes a garment. And he's paid for that task or for producing what he was meant to provide. Whereas there's a sachir. He's hired as a hand. He might be hired for 6 months or a year or a week, and he's paid just to be doing his work. Boaz says, Yishalem Hashem palech usihi maskortech shema meim Hashem Elokei Yisrael. Boaz says, you're going to be rewarded for each mitzvah that you perform, but you're also going to be rewarded because now you're a steady worker. You've made a commitment to take this lifestyle upon yourself. And the Malbim goes on to beautifully explain that really a mitzvah itself should be all that we need. Just the fact that we are observing a mitzvah should be enough incentive for us to do a mitzvah rather than the schar. But he says most people aren't on that level. But for someone who is on that level, they can appreciate what it means that the ultimate shleimut, the ultimate perfection is what he continues to say to her, Asher bat lachasos tachas knafav. Hashem should bless you. Hashem, whom you've chosen to come and be protected under the, so to speak, wings of his protection. Because you, Rus, appreciate the fact that just having a relationship with Hashem, taking this lifestyle upon yourself, is enough of a reward. Completely overwhelmed by all of this benevolence and blessing, Kini Chamtani, you have comforted me, of course shedding light on what her previous state must have been if she needed comfort. V'chidibarta lev shivchasech, and you've spoken to the heart of your maidservant. Subsequently, at mealtime, Boaz calls her over, and he offers her bread. He tells her to take bread, to dip it into the vinegar, and he hands her a small amount of toasted grain, v'yitzpat la'kali. And although it was a small amount, it says, v'tochal v'tispa v'tosar. And she ate, and she was satisfied, and she had leftovers, bringing the Medrash to tell us, Bracha shorah b'toch me'ah sha'ota tzadeket. There was blessing within the intestines of this woman that she was satisfied, perhaps also, metaphorically speaking, that this great woman was satisfied with just a small amount. And then, behind her back, he instructs his workers, and he says to them, make sure you don't embarrass her, make sure you don't denigrate her, lo tachlimuha, lo tigaruva. And he tells them, let her gather from anything she wants, let her take also from the gathered grain. And he says, you know what, casually drop some of the grain so that she has even more to collect. So he's really looking out for her well-being. There's a word used when Boaz invites her to eat. Vayomer la Boaz la'is ha'ochel goshi halom. And Chazal and all the Mefarshim point out that the word halom is always either referring to something of royalty or it's a specific place that's a more elevated place from the previous place in which the person was. When David has become king and he is humbled by this, he says to Hashem, Mi anochi Hashem Elokim umi vesi ki heviosani ad halom. Who am I that you brought me to this place? And what is this place? Of course, the place is being a king. The place is a place of royalty, bringing the Gemara to tell us that there was a hint that was hinted at that moment when Boaz used the word halom. Remez ramazla, atida malchut beit David latzeit mimcha, mimech. Rabbi Elazar says that this was a hint that one day the royal line of David, of the house of David, will be descended from you, Russ. And there are many gestures here that are learned by the Medrash to be referring to the royalty that will be descended from Russ. When it says, Vatispa, Vatochal, Vatispa, Vatosar, we're told that Vatochal is Bimei David, Vatispa Bimei Shlomo, Vatosar Bimei Chizkiyahu, and many other allusions to the royalty, according to the Medrash. These interactions between Rus and Boaz are seen as foreshadowing for something far greater. Every moment that day in the field is seen as a precursor to what's going to be the establishment of the royal house of David and eventually Mashiach. When it is evening and she has gathered all that she has gathered, Rus grinds up the grain she has. You can envision a sack of flour that she has, and she returns to Naomi to show her what she has gathered and to bring it to her. And she brings her Esa Sher Hosira Misava, what's been left over after she herself, Rus, was satisfied. And Naomi, her mother-in-law, says to her, Eful Lakatit, the Ana Asis, Yihima Kirech Baruch. Who did this all for you? And the person who took note of you should be blessed. And now she tells Naomi who it was. Shem Ha'isha Sher Asisi Imo Hayom Boaz. Naomi reacts and she says, Baruch Hu Lashem Asher Lo Azav Chasto Es Achaim Ves Hamesim. Blessed is he, Boaz, who has not ceased from doing kindness both for the living, meaning myself, Naomi, and you, Rus, and for the dead. And of course, the chesed that he's doing for the dead is yet to come. And then she apprises Rus of the fact that he is, our relative. Atomer la Naomi karov lanu ha'ish. So beautiful, she includes her in the family, and she says, karov lanu ha'ish, mi goalenu, who he is a potential redeemer, a concept that we will discuss in the next parak. And Rus recounts to Naomi about how he was so caring and told her to stay only with his maidservants. And Naomi gives approval to this plan. She says, yes, it's better that you shouldn't go to any other fields. Stick there. Vatidbak b'naros boaz l'laket ad klos k'sir ha'sa'or m'k'sir ha'chitim. And for the duration of this time period, Rus, in fact, stays in Boaz's fields until it's the end of the season of cutting the barley and cutting the wheat, Vateshev es Chamosa, after which point she stays in the home of her mother-in-law, Naomi. Thank you for learning together Le'ilui Nishmas Rose Foreman, Razel Rachel Bas Arya Leib, and Rachel Zeitlin Rachel Bas Shlomo.